Welcome to The Pipeline, all things CD and DevOps podcast by the CD Foundation. I am your host, Jacqueline Salinas, Director of Ecosystem and Community Development. Thank you so much for joining me. It's episode 35 of season 2. And today's topic is Finding Your Way, a survey of supply chains. With the explosion of interest in SBOMs, it's likely that you've heard of a few projects for the first time. Even if those projects aren't new, they may be new to you. And you might be asking yourself, how is X different from Y? You might also be wondering which projects you should select in order to satisfy the requirements of the executive order. As when starting out on any journey before entering unfamiliar territory, it is important to understand the lay of the land, pack the right supplies, and get to know your traveling companions. In this episode, Ava will cover a few of the maps of open source supply chain landscape, and our audience will also gain a sense of both the breadth and the depth of the challenges ahead and learn to identify a few essential types of tools for their journey. My guest today is Ava Black from Microsoft. Ava Black is a .com veteran, an open source hacker, and a queer and non-binary geek. They work in the Azure office of the CTO to improve the state of open source software supply chain security and to support teams working on cloud security and digital privacy. Back in 2012, they launched OpenStack's Bare Metal Cloud program, enabling performance-sensitive cloud-native workloads to work without a hypervisor. Ava currently serves on the board of the Open Source Initiative, the nonprofit which stewards the definition of open source, and works within several other foundations, including the Confidential Computing Consortium and the Cloud Native Computing Foundation. Ava is a lifelong student of the Buddha Dharma and an advocate for LGBTIQIA rights. They served for several years on the board of the Consent Academy, a Seattle area educational nonprofit, and were recently published in Transcending, an anthology of trans Buddhist authors. Before we dive into Finding Your Way, a survey of supply chains, we are going to kick off our episode with the segment, My DevOps Journey.
Thanks for having me on. And yeah, it's been fun to see the CD Foundation evolve. I think for me, DevOps, the sort of the term and popularization of it kind of caught me off guard a while back. I was heads down moving out of startups and into big tech at that point. And at first I was like, well, that just sounds like what I've already been doing. I didn't know there was a word for that. And then I dug into the OpenStack infra team. They were using Jenkins at the time to do a lot of testing and ensure that the tip of the main branch of all the projects, all the Git projects in that ecosystem, were always sort of continuously deployable. I'm like, oh yeah, this is cool. This makes a lot of sense. And it kind of, you know, went downhill from there.
That's how it all started, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. And let's dive into the topic of supply chains. So I wanted to lay down the groundwork a bit for our audience. So what is an SBOM and why is it important?
SBOM is a software bill of materials. And if you think about a bill of materials, this is really not a new concept. Physical goods manufacturing for a lot of industries, especially regulated industries that involve human safety, have had, you know, regulatory requirements around traceability to know, you know, from the origin of something like you mined out of the ground or you built or you farmed all the way down to the consumers that are eating it or it's in their cars or medical devices in someone's body. You've got to know that end-to-end supply chain so that if something goes wrong, and maybe you find out that the steel wasn't tempered properly or the food had salmonella in it or something was, you know, something wasn't right, you can notify all the people or issue a recall on all the cars or whatever, pull it off the shelves in a grocery store. And that's sort of the consumer-facing impact. But all the work behind the scenes to enable that, we call that supply chain security. And it depends on a bill of materials. What we're doing now is just trying to apply those same principles to the creation of software, and in particular, open source software.
Very cool. And I do have a follow-up question to that. Do many projects, especially open source projects, produce SBOMs today?
I haven't done a survey of all of open source, which is kind of impossible because open source is so broad. Everyone can publish things and millions of people do. But I'd say a lot of projects don't publish an SBOM. And that's part of the effort that we're trying to improve, both improve awareness of this and the need for this, improve tooling to make it easier for projects, especially smaller ones who don't have a budget or a dedicated, you know, staff member who can run that or update their CI or CD system to start producing SBOMs automatically. We're trying to make it easier. But right now, I think the big projects do that. There's a couple sort of metadata repositories out there. I think OpenChain is doing some work in the space. Clearly Defined is doing some work to try and just make it more visible. But a lot of the work to date has centered on software, open source software licensing. So you can know if you download something from the internet, in what ways is it safe to use, incorporate, modify, all that's based on the license. We're trying to expand that now to also what's in the box, not just how is the box licensed.
Understood. Got it. So I know that part of our focus on supply chain security right now is also because there was an executive order. So for those folks who don't know much about the executive order, what is the executive order? And also, there are certain requirements we must comply with based on this executive order. I don't know if you can just give us a little bit of insight into what that looks like.
Sure. So May 12th, this year, 2021, is when the executive order to improve the nation's cybersecurity, that's its official title, was issued. And it outlined a whole lot of changes to the way that the U.S. government would procure software from its vendors, including a bunch of new requirements around basically the labeling of that software. And a chunk of the requirements in there specify things like, you know, software should use a separate build environment from your developer's workstation to, you know, do privilege isolation and ensure that the build itself wasn't tampered with, that all the trust relationships between developers, the build environment, your test team, your release team, that all of the trust relationships and keys are audited so you can detect if something was compromised or stolen, or that everybody should use multi-factor authentication in 2FA, turn it on in GitHub, get a little USB token. It's not expensive. It's pretty easy these days. Ideally use what's called conditional access as an extra layer on top of 2FA. There's a couple others. Ensure that, you know, data that you're using to build things like machine learning, the data itself is encrypted and you can detect if it's been tampered with, and to have monitoring around your operations for your test environment, your build environment, and a documented process for responding to incidents.
Thank you so much for that. And for those that are starting their journey, what do they need to understand about the lay of the land? What are the right supplies and who are the key stakeholders that they should be taking into consideration?
Broad question. I'll start with what's the lay of the land. So there's kind of a quote from the talk that I gave at the Supply Chain Security Summit. And I guess the background here, over the summer, I did a survey of, I reached out to all the open source communities and a couple of vendors that I know and said, hey, what are you all doing? What do you see happening in this space? What's emerging? What's coming next? And I built a big survey. It's really, at this point, a very long Google Doc that a lot of people have contributed to. I just sort of held the space and asked people to add comments. And it lists something like 10, I'm going to pull it up real quick and check, something like 10 or 20 different foundations, dozens of open source projects, half a dozen different specification format for all of this work. And the more that I worked through this sort of landscape, what distilled from it is that everybody who is or will build a solution in the space, they need five components, you know, five essential tools on their journey. They need some way to store and possibly distribute metadata about a build environment or about an individual build. Is it a flat file? Is it encrypted? Is it, you know, using BitTorrent or a blockchain? How are you storing and how are you distributing that metadata? So that's one. You need a shared identity system to keep track of everyone who's acting, and both the human and autonomous or computer actors in your build system and your distribution system. So identity system, that's number two. The actual tools you're going to use to generate a claim. And a claim is like, yep, I built this thing on this machine at this time from this source. That metadata is a claim that relates to an artifact, right? The actual binary that you built. So you have an artifact. That's number four. They have the tools to build claims and the artifacts that they reference. That's three and four. And then the specification format that you're going to use for each of these types of things, because you could use SPDX, you could use CycloneDX. There's a couple others as well. Those are the two that I'd recommend. And so you've got to pick what format you're going to use for each of the tools. Get all five of those, put them together, and you can probably navigate your way around the supply chain landscape.
Okay, very cool. You also talked about some maps of open source supply chain landscapes that you covered in your session. Can we cover some of those? So what are the maps of the open source supply chain landscape you covered in your session at Supply Chain Security Con?
The maps are just kind of logical or lexical frameworks to help people think about as they're entering this landscape. What are they doing today? Where do they need to get to at the end, right? To be able to provide enough metadata to meet the requirements of the executive order. And that's really what we'd like to see. The EO is a low bar that everyone ideally will rise to meet. It's not necessarily the ideal state, but it's a lot better than what we have today. So the maps that I presented at Supply Chain Security Con were just a couple frameworks for getting there. And then I kind of went off script a bit. Well, still in the sense of my talk, but away from talking about maps, to talk about one particular tool that I think is really cool. It was Gitbomb.
Okay. So now to just kind of wrap up, what are the challenges ahead and how can we learn to identify the essential types of tools for our journey?
If I had a crystal ball, I'm not real good at predicting the future, but if I had a crystal ball, I think it would tell me that the biggest challenge in the short term in this space is everyone is rushing in and there's going to be a lot of people building new products in the space. If you've ever seen the XKCD comic about like, there's 11 standards. We should unify them all under one banner. Okay, now there's 12 standards. I think that's what's likely to pose the largest challenge and also opportunity, right? A lot of people could make really great products or projects. I know the OpenSSF is rallying a lot of people together around doing this in a common, consistent, compatible, collaborative way. And I think that's really important, right? The executive order specifies a minimum set of information that any SBOM needs. There's a couple elements in there. Both SPDX and CycloneDX can include a whole lot more metadata than the minimum requirements. And plenty of the security and crypto folks that I work with, myself included, say that even those five elements that the EO does mandate, it isn't enough. And I personally would like to see checksums, a digital fingerprint included in our metadata, not just, I think it's the origin or URL, software, package name, version string, and supplier, I think, and maybe date, build date. I think those are the four or five elements that are in the EO. I would like to see checksum included, but there are some cons to that as well. So there's a bunch of work that can be done there. And I think the real challenge facing us is the long tail, right? Projects that have a lot of funding or that are corporate-backed open source, they're going to get a lot of investment, of time, of maybe CI resources, of people's effort to secure them, to begin publishing metadata automatically through secure build systems. But all the rest of open source projects out there might not benefit as rapidly, and we need them to improve, right? We're going to need that random, Node.js project that half the world depends on, that has one developer in his spare time. We're going to need that project to have the same security best practices built into its pipeline, publish things just as securely. And I'm not sure how we do that yet. It's a big challenge.
But thank you so much for joining us today, Ava.
Thanks so much for having me. look forward to seeing what comes up, what happens next.
Yeah, absolutely.